that deal particularly with women. And we saw that there are a number of different ways that we can apply these proverbs depending on who we are. They give married women a guide or a standard for their own conduct, a way in some respects to grade themselves, something to show them what their goals should be in their lives as a married woman. It teaches young unmarried women what their behavior should be like as a married woman. And it also gives men a way of judging a woman in terms of whether or not she is suitable as a spouse. It also has a lot of teachings for the husbands concerning their responsibilities toward their wives. And we'll hopefully get to that toward the end of the lesson. We saw that the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about evil women. It defines them as being immoral, contentious, and deceitful. They lack good judgment. They're destructive. And they are a source of shame. Godly women, on the other hand, are described as being virtuous. A godly woman is someone who is a good companion. And brings us down to our next point. A godly woman is someone who is trustworthy, particularly to her husband. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 11. A number of very important things are said about the virtuous or the godly woman here in chapter 31 of Proverbs. And beginning in verse 11, it says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." The husband and wife relationship is very much one of a partnership. And it makes for a very happy and very pleasant home life when the husband can trust his wife and trust her on many different levels. We tend a lot of times to think of trust between spouses having to do with fidelity, being faithful. But there are a lot of other different levels of trust. The husband and wife need to be able to trust each other's judgment in things. And I think that is very much one of the things that's involved here in Proverbs 31 in talking about the virtuous woman. It goes on to talk about how industrious she is, how she takes care of the home. So the trust that this woman's husband has in her is not only in her faithfulness to him, but in her good judgment and trusting in the fact that she's going to discharge her duties as a mother and as a keeper of the home. So the godly woman of Proverbs is someone who is trustworthy. Another thing that we find in Proverbs is said about the godly woman is that she's worthy of honor. Let's look at Proverbs 11 and verse 16. It says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." So a gracious woman, or a woman who is, I think in the original it carries with it the idea of woman possessing the qualities of graciousness, goodness, moral goodness and uprightness, then she is someone who is to be honored. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this particular point right now because there are some other things that are said in Proverbs chapter 31 that we'll cover toward the end of the lesson having to do with honor and praise that a godly woman deserves, and we'll spend a little bit more time on it there. So don't think that I'm just skipping over this idea of honoring the godly woman. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail later. The godly woman, we're told, possesses good judgment. Now remember, that was the very opposite is said about the evil woman or the ungodly woman, and that she is someone who lacks discretion and judgment. The godly woman possesses good judgment in the area of spiritual things. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, and we'll start with verse 26. It says in verse 26 of the virtuous woman, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And we see throughout the book of Proverbs that wisdom and godliness are very closely associated. And we see that here with the godly woman. She is someone who has good judgment in spiritual things. She speaks wisely. And in verse 29, it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So, what is another thing that is said about this godly woman that shows that she is a spiritually minded individual? What does it say over there in verse 30? She fears the Lord. So the godly woman is someone who shows good judgment in spiritual matters. Not only in spiritual matters, but in material matters as well. Going back to verse 16, it says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth the vineyard. Here we have a woman described that's got enough judgment in business matters to where she can go out and choose a field and buy it and use it as a good investment to plant. So when it comes to that aspect of taking care of her family and benefiting her husband, she's got the good judgment to do that. And in verse 18, it says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. So she produces merchandise to help support the household. And she does it well. She's got good judgment when it comes to the work of her hands. And it says her candle goeth not out by night. She knows how to take care of her household. They're not running out of things. The cupboard's not bare. There are two reasons there can be a lack of good food in the house. One is a lack of money, and the other is simply nobody's taking care of doing that job. But this woman that's described here, that doesn't happen in her household. She knows how to take care of it. The household supplies are taken care of. In verse 21, it says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So again, as a housekeeper, as a keeper of the home, she doesn't worry about the snow in the wintertime. She's planned in advance for that. She's taken care of whatever is necessary to deal with the winter time. Her household supplied with clothing that's suitable for the weather. In verse 24, it says, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Again, she not only has the skills to produce things, but she has the wisdom and the good judgment to know how to buy and to sell in a way so as to make profit. And then in verse 27, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's got the wisdom to know that you can't be a lazy person and run a household well. So she takes care of her household. She's got good judgment in spiritual matters and in the areas of taking care of the home itself, the physical needs of the household. Are there any questions or comments about anything we've talked about so far? When it comes to a woman who has good judgment in spiritual things, where is she going to learn that? Where are we going to find this type of woman produced? Where is she going to come from, typically? Right. It's the responsibility of the parents, particularly the mother, to instill these types of traits and virtues into their daughters. And what about being able to exercise good judgment in material things when it comes to taking care of her household? Where are we going to find women that have those abilities? Taught from you.
You can find some that, even though they haven't been taught, through the fear of the Lord, they can learn these things as well.
They can, but it's a lot more difficult for them. And so that's another area where the idea of teaching young people should be emphasized. We look at the godly woman that's described here in chapter 31. And parents need to read over this type of material and become familiar with it so that they'll know the things that they need to be doing to prepare their daughters and sons to be parents themselves. Yes, sir.
Passage of scripture goes along with that in the New Testament by Paul, where he tells the older women likewise that they be reverent in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, but the word of God be not blasphemed.
Very much in line. He's basically telling them to teach them the things like we find here in the book of Proverbs. Very good. Sometimes it takes a lot of discipline and self-discipline on the part of people to learn these types of lessons. One of the problems that I think that we see very common in the world around us is selfishness and self-centeredness. And we see a lot of that in men today. We see a lot of it in women today when it comes to discharging their duties as a mother and a homemaker. A lot of times they don't have time, they say, to do the things that a traditional homemaker should be doing because they have other interests outside the home. But when we look through chapter 31 here and we consider the things that are said about the godly woman, we see that she puts the interest of others first. She is a caring mother, a mother who puts her household ahead of her own selfish interest. Let's look at verse 12. Well, I'm not sure verse 12 is the one that I wanted. Yes, it is. I was looking at the wrong page. Talking about her husband. Said that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She considers her husband's, her husband and his needs and his welfare. And not only in doing things for him and for the household, but also in her conduct, knowing that her conduct will reflect on him to others. She puts her household first. Verse 15, she says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she's not somebody that has her servants taking care of her. She gets up early and makes sure that the household has been taken care of.
She also reaches out to others, the poor and needy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. In verse 20, it says that she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So her goodness extends beyond her household. We talked about verse 21, where her household doesn't have to fear the cold weather or the snow. In verse 27, it says she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So she puts the welfare of the household ahead of herself in many ways. It doesn't mean that she neglects herself, that she doesn't see to her health or that type of thing. But she's not putting her career and hobbies and outside interest ahead of the welfare of her home. And a lot of these same principles would apply to the husband as well. But, of course, here we are looking at Proverbs that deal particularly with the wife. We see that the godly woman of the Proverbs is industrious. She stays busy. Many of these verses we've looked at already. But beginning in verse 14, it says, she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And just continues to talk about how industrious and busy she is. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Skipping down to verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So she stays busy. She's doing things. She's not idle. We find also that the godly woman adorns herself in a godly fashion. In verse 25, it says that strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She doesn't worry about elaborate apparel, but her clothing, what stands out about her are her strength and honor. Let's look also at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be that the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, this doesn't mean, of course, that a woman can't wear nice clothes. It doesn't mean that the godly woman that's spoken of in the book of Proverbs doesn't wear nice clothing. But that's not where her pride is centered. That's not where her honor is centered. What honors her is not elaborate apparel or gold or a fancy hairdo. What honors her is her behavior and the fact that she conforms to the ideals of a godly woman as they are presented here in chapter 31. Right, any questions or comments about anything we've talked about so far?
Today, a lady couldn't be that busy taking care of her household. And I'm not against sports, but they have so many now, they overlap. And a lot of times, a woman today has to carry one child in this game, then carry the other one over here. And I got a neighbor that carries her little son to a soccer game, over 100 miles sometimes to play. And if that is no way you could do all of this.
Sometimes it's almost like the husband and wife need an elaborate schedule written down somewhere where they can keep up with all that. And sometimes they just seems like they just pass each other on the way going from one place to the other. There's such a thing as getting too busy, I think. Got a comment?
I've got a few things.
Well, there are a lot of things that I think that we can infer. For instance, going out and buying of a field is not something that she would do without either consulting her husband or getting his permission to go do that. And that, I think, would go back to the trust. This is a woman whose husband trusts her implicitly. She's got good judgment. She's demonstrated it in the past. And he is trusting her with a lot of these responsibilities.
Oh, I know there was one more thing. I forgot about this. In this circumstance, whoever this is, event, she has to, at her disposal, a good bit of, this is a well-to-do family, and from the description of her husband, the point that she, in verse 15, has servants. So I think some of this activity is not just all her fault.
Right.
Stuff.
like the planting of the field, for instance. That's it talked about her planting it, but certainly she would be in charge of seeing to it that it got planted, but she's not doing all of it by herself.
Carrying out, reaching out to the needy, mm-hmm. and these other, you know, philanthropical kind of activities would be important to her because they are well-to-do. You know, and I think it's important that, like I said, this is kind of like, I don't mean it to say that it doesn't do what it means. I'm just saying that in a figurative way, scale is that some, you know, and apply it to what our role would be. You know, we wouldn't be able to do all of this, but somehow or another we've got to get some kind of example from this rather than a literal transcription of that.
Well, of course, they lived in a different society, in a different circumstance than we do. They were obviously an agrarian society where we're not today. So the duties would be different. And of course, allowances would have to be made for an application when it comes to the prosperity of the household. But one of the things that we see is that one of the reasons presented for the household being prosperous and her husband being prosperous is because she's doing a lot of these things. And I would expect that in the day when this was written, that there were probably households, and certainly were households that were run very much this way, and where you could go into a household and see circumstances where these things were really going on. Of course, today we have to make allowances for differences in the way we do things today.
Speaks of many daughters that have done virtuously. My center column says they have gotten riches,
mm-hmm.
but you excel them all. In other words, some others have done well,
mm-hmm.
but you're so far above.
Yeah.
Her price is mm-hmm. far above Ruth.
Yeah.
So she has excelled them all
mm-hmm.
in this matter, which could involve buying field or any kind of things like that.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask you that a little bit. A lot of times, are there a group of women, and the subject comes up, well, what did you do? Well, I'm the secretary of such and such, and I run a store, or I do this, do that. Well, what did you do? Well, I said, I'm just an alpha. I'm just a stay at home. They shouldn't look at it that way, because
yeah.
the greatest thing that the woman can have is to be that homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And they should stand out. The same parallel. They said, well, Harold, how come you're not the president of the United States? Is that it? And people think that's important. But being a Christian, I'm a far out ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And the president.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
Today of these same points of like she considers a field of life. She does all of these things for what? For the benefit of her household, for the
mm-hmm.
benefit of others. So
mm-hmm.
a woman who's going to be industrious and busy and doing the things today, again, the primary goal has to be truly honest and godly for the benefit of her household. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Say that, you know, the woman can go out today and you know, run herself ragged like Bunny was saying with scheduling and doing all these other things and make a claim that she did it for the benefit of her household,
mm-hmm.
but in a spiritual context, that's not so. So I think
as we think about all these things she's doing, you know, the application is she's doing it for the benefit of her household, for the benefit of those that she can help in our needs.
That's right. And, you know, that applies to the husband and wife both in the pursuit of a career. The effort that you put into it should be, whether it's the man or the woman, and taking care of the household or the man in pursuit of his career, the household should be your motivation and not simply the advancement of yourself or the pursuit of money for the sake of gaining money. All right, let's look at some of the things that men can learn from what's said about women in the book of Proverbs. First of all, and we've touched on this before, one of the most important lessons that a man can learn is how to choose a spouse and how to do so wisely. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. We've already talked about this woman, this verse before. It says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." And there are different verses that we've talked about in the book of Proverbs that show the rewards of choosing wisely and just how disastrous it is to choose poorly. One of the first things that a man needs to learn is how to choose. And by that I mean learning to base his choices for a companion on character and not on appearances. We talked about Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22 that says, "As a jewel of gold and a swine snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion or good judgment." So a woman who's very pretty to look upon but doesn't have good judgment, that's almost like putting jewelry on a pig. It's out of place, it's useless, and a man who chooses that way and makes his choices based on appearances, not on the woman's character and her good judgment, is going to make a very poor choice. Chapter 31 and verse 25. Says strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. That strength and honor, that sense of honor, that display of honor, is something that the man should be looking at, and not just the woman's appearance. And we talked about 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, where the adornment should be a godly life and not just appearances. The book of Proverbs talks about the rewards of choosing well. A man who chooses his spouse wisely finds favor with God. Let's look at Proverbs 18 and verse 22. It says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." And I would understand this verse to be talking about finding a virtuous wife, a good wife, or a godly wife. But doing so, you obtain the favor of God. It pleases God when a man finds a good spouse to spend his life with. That was God's intention from the beginning, and that's why He created woman. A man who chooses well is going to have a pleasant home life. Let's look at chapter 12 and verse 4 again. Where it says that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She's a crown to him in chapter 15 and verse 17 of Proverbs. It says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." where you've got a pleasant home life and a pleasant relationship between you and your wife, between the husband and wife, you can put up with a lot when it comes to not having a lot of the comforts of this life. When you both have a good perspective on life, when you both have your priorities straight, and when you've got a loving relationship, you don't have to be rich to be happy. And in chapter 17 and verse 1, very much the same idea. Better is a dry morsel in quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. So again, the idea that if you've got a nice, peaceful, pleasant relationship with your spouse, then there are a lot of things in this life that you can find that you can put up with. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which she hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou taketh under the sun. One of the joys that we have in this life is to enjoy the company of our spouse. That's God's intention. And in order for us to do that, both the husband and wife are going to have to choose wisely and then behave themselves wisely in that relationship. Another benefit of choosing well is that of a good reputation. Now, we've already talked about Proverbs 31 in verse 23. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. A good spouse adds to your reputation. It speaks well for your judgment, and she reflects on you. And think about the qualifications for an elder. The wife has to be someone that is suitable to be an elder's wife. The book of Proverbs talks about the consequences of choosing poorly. We talked about the immoral woman when we were looking at chapters 1 through 9, who couldn't be trusted when her husband was out of town. As soon as he's out of sight, she's trying to seduce the young man. Talked about how she brings him dishonor and shame. And let's look at chapter 19 in verse 13. It says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. When you marry someone who's contentious, whether you're a husband with a contentious wife or a wife with a contentious husband, it's like a form of torture. There's that continual irritation because of their behavior. Right, any questions or comments about anything we've talked about so far?
Comment on Proverbs 31, going back to that. But one of the key applications that I get out of that is this woman was extremely industrious. And even though she was clearly a woman of means, she was a woman of industry. Mm-hmm. And although we may not have the same means as this woman, that's not a reason for us not to be equally as industrious.
That's right.
And just as we struggle with the differences between their time and our time, even though none of us have servants, we do have servant-like technology. We have dishwashers, we have laundry machines, we have all kinds of machines where it would have been a person if we had gone back those many years.
Yeah.
And also keep in mind that this lady was someone who was taking care of her servants and providing for them as well. Mm-hmm. So I think the key is to recognize the industriousness of this person.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? If a man is going to look for a woman like the one that's described in the book of Proverbs, what's he going to have to do to find a woman like that? He's going to have to be the male equivalent of that virtuous woman in the book of Proverbs. That's right. He's not going to find one in a bar. The next section that we're going to look at is what the man needs to do in regards to his own character and his own behavior to find a wife like that. And having found a wife like that, what his responsibilities are to her. And we're not going to have time to really get started on that, so I'm going to go ahead and stop here. But Lord willing, Sunday morning, that's where we'll pick up with what the responsibilities of the man in such a relationship would be toward this godly woman that the book of Proverbs describes. All right. We'll stop here for this evening, and Lord willing, we'll pick back up Sunday morning.